Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're talking technicals as we are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. We're going to start off with gold specifically and some of the longer term charts, starting off with the quarterly chart. So it's one chart that I think some people ignore because of the fact that it is a really long term outlook when you are looking at candlesticks that encompass a full quarter. Jordan, these longer term charts are really critical to understand the longer term direction, trying to take out some of this day-to-day noise, just like what we've seen with gold just to start this year when we had the drop on Monday and then this rebound these last couple days. Quarterly chart takes out a lot of this noise. Give us a little summary of what you're seeing and what is important to note on those quarterly charts for gold.
Yeah, quarterly charts, I think few people even know that they exist. When I started looking at charts about 20 years ago, I mean, it probably took me 10 or 12 years before I even started looking at a quarterly chart. And with respect to gold, Corey, what's interesting, and I have to bring silver into the equation as well, but when we're looking at gold in the quarterly chart, you know, the only resistance is really 1900. And it's interesting how that lines up. If you're looking at a weekly and a monthly or a quarterly, 1900 is the level on all those charts. So we know that gold breaking above 1900 is very significant. Now, when it breaks above 1900 on a quarterly basis, that's a signal that it's going to go to the all-time high and probably break it fairly soon. Now, of course, if gold were to, you know, if gold breaks above 1900 really early in the quarter, you know, maybe it ends the quarter at 2050 or whatever, and then it becomes really obvious. But it's more instructive if it's gold just gets moving and it makes that really strong close at the end of a quarter where it just clears it in the last couple of weeks or so. You know, that then that's a signal that it's going to continue moving higher. And 1900 is really the key resistance before any of us should get excited, not 1835 or 1860 or whatever. It's 1900. That should be abundantly clear by now. Secondly, with respect to silver, there's quite a bit of resistance on the quarterly chart at 2660. I mean, we could say 2660 to 27. And also, if you go back to the support, I believe in 2011, 2012, it lines up there. So this is a really significant level. And it's because if you look at the last year or two, there's four or five candles, at least consecutively, where silver was unable to break above that resistance, just below 27. So it, and a couple times it tested it, it traded over it, so it closed below it. So that resistance is going to be really significant. I think that at least on a, you know, maybe a monthly and quarterly basis, we're going to see gold break above 1900 before silver breaks above 27. That's possible. So I'm not saying I'm super bearish on silver, but we have to understand how these markets usually work. And usually gold gets going, silver lags. And then when gold breaks a key level, that's when silver really starts to gain traction and outperform. And with respect to silver, I mean, I gave you the negative aspect. The positive aspect is if you look at the entire history, and this includes 1980, but I believe it's you have quarterly resistance at $35 and $37. So if silver can close above 37 on a quarterly basis, that's going to be a signal that it's going to 50 and probably going to break it in the next couple quarters. Now, that may be a couple years ahead of us, but that's the, you know, positive side of this analysis. And just one more thing on long-term charts, you know, gold, that 40-month moving average, which I've spoke about, it's a very significant level. That's really starting to move up significantly. After the last month, it's up to $16.34. I mean, it's moving up $13 or $14 a month right now. And I've looked at the history going back 40 months or so, and that's going to continue to increase over the next couple months. So that moving average could be up to $16.60 at the end of February, which would be pretty interesting because, you know, we're looking at the Fed potentially hiking in March. And, you know, we know 1675, 1670, that, you know, somewhat double bottom support is really significant. So you can also include the 40-month moving average in that area. That gives me a lot of confidence that we're not going to see gold go below the mid-1600s at this point. I think that it's in, you know, the odds to me are increasing that, you know, if gold does break lower and sell off before the first hike, that, you know, the bottom could be in the mid 1600s or upper 1600s potentially.
Okay, so what I'm getting here, Jordan, is that the precious metal still might be fairly range-bound, a limited maybe breakdown if that even happens, and still a lot of work to get just up to 1900 for gold, or even 26, a little over 26 for silver. You did mention, though, that silver starts to really play catch-up when gold breaks out. What about the discrepancy that we're seeing where gold is at 19, let's say 1800, round numbers here, only a couple hundred dollars off of its recent highs. Silver's in the 20s, low 20s, but its highs back about a decade ago, they were much higher. Silver never made it even close to that $50 level. Why silver lags so much? And is that something we need to take note of on longer term charts? Because it is arguably a different setup because of the lack of movement from silver in 2020, 2021.
That is a excellent question, Corey, and I don't have a really good answer for you. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the demonetization of silver. I mean, when that happened, I think I'd have to go back and look at my history. I want to say it was after the Civil War, maybe sometime in the early 1900s, silver was demonetized. You know, we used to be on a silver standard before we were on the gold standard, interestingly. But silver is interesting because it doesn't, you know, if you look at even copper has, I think it's performed better over time, or at least, you know, recently, because copper's already back to its 2011 high. So silver has been demonetized, and I guess the industrial component of silver, I guess, has not been significant enough. And you could say the same thing on the monetary side. So that's probably a good question for somebody else like Jeff Christian or a real expert on that matter. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. But I think, you know, the market or investment ramifications of all that are, I mean, eventually silver is going to have a spectacular move. I just don't think it's 1 or 2 years away like every gold and silver bug. They think it's 1 or 2 months away, not 1 or 2 years away. But eventually, the setup is there for silver. When it gets back to 50, it's going to make a really explosive move and probably go to $100, you know, based on it's an irregular cup and handle in silver, but I think the measured upside target is like 96 or 97, depending on how you measure it. But that will happen in the next 5 or 10 years. You will see an explosive move, explosive breakout in silver above $50. You know, maybe it's 3-4 years away, not 10 years away. But, you know, the cup and handle in gold, it's a lot more, it's just textbook, it's pure, it's just really by the book. And, you know, if we see, even in my scenario, if we trade lower before the rate hike and gold bottoms at, let's say, 1650, 1660, I mean, that's right around the 38% retracement. A cup and handle usually retraces 38% or 50%. So to retrace 38% and then to spend almost 2 years, I mean, let's say it's 2 years and it breaks out later this year, a 2 year long handle on a 10 year long cup, or a 9 year cup, I think it was. I mean, that's just I can't say it enough. It's just a textbook pure pattern, and it's just super bullish. And I, you know, looking at the history of when silver outperforms, you know, when gold makes that explosive breakout out of this perfect pattern, that's when silver is going to catch fire and outperform, and silver will run to 50 and eventually it'll break above 50. And that's really when it's going to catch up. I mean, it outperforms, it catches up after gold gets going, and especially when gold breaks above a key level. So those are the market implications. I mean, your first question, that's an excellent question. I've saved that for somebody who can give a much better answer, because I'd be curious about that myself.
Well, Jordan, I thought you gave a good answer there. And it is interesting, as Corey noted, that if silver does track gold generally, and gold is the prime mover, as you just laid out, and when gold really runs, then silver catches up and fits and starts, and it really outperforms during those small windows and plays catch up. It's interesting that it didn't really move with gold this time, though. And so the other narrative we've been hearing for the last 3 years in the mainstream media and even in precious metal circles is that that's because of its industrial component. But as you pointed out, Jordan, copper has run to new highs. Zinc has run to new highs. Lead's back up again. Look at nickel taking off. Aluminum's taken off. Iron's taking off. If silver was really tracking commodities, then it would have also taken off. So it seems like it just can't get off the mat. So I want to go back to the charts, and we'll take the fundamentals out of it for a second. You mentioned 2660 was that stiff resistance on the quarterly charts. and that it also had coincided with some prior troughs. And then you see that 37 level above that as another resistance point. Do you see that as something that's going to take that longer time period of 5 years, or do you see that something that could actually happen over the next year or two?
You know, I don't know if this is a good answer or even a direct answer, but the way I'm thinking about silver is I think that silver will get to $50 probably around the time gold is closing in on the measured upside target from the cup and handle, which is, depending on how you measure it, about 3,000. You know, I've seen some people say 3,050. I've seen other people say 2,900. But that's my general thinking. And again, just for the audience, I like to be a little conservative. Usually when these metals get going, they outperform my conservative targets. But I want to be conservative and realistic. And that's my thinking, that the measured upside target for gold, the simple measured upside target, that should be enough to get silver to $50. So if I'm looking at gold and thinking it can hit 3,000 in the next, let's say, 3 years, because I think from the point when gold breaks out, I think it should be able to reach that target within 2 years. That's, you know, pretty conservative if it's going to break out. You know, it could be 2 years from the low. If the low is in March, or you know, maybe it comes in April, a couple weeks after they hike, you know, 2 years after that would be what, 2024. So we're not, it's potentially not that far away, but that's how I look at it. 2 or 3 year time frame for gold to hit that measured upside target of 3,000. That should, looking at the gold silver ratio, that should be enough to get silver to 50. So that's just my thinking. As far as silver breaking above 50, like, you would need to see a real inflationary blow off in this economic cycle, which, I mean, maybe it's possible. We can't predict how the cycle will end. But if you have some inflationary blow off, like we did in the 70s a couple of times, that, you know, the beginning and then at the end, you know, that could take gold to 4,000 or 5,000. I think in that scenario where gold goes above 3,000, I think that's when you could see silver break above $50. But, you know, silver just, you know, it moves spectacularly and then it hibernates for a while. We're in a hibernation period. And the great thing about how the performance of these metals really align is you can wait for gold to get going. I mean, you could probably wait for gold. I'm not saying you do this in every case with every silver stock, but, you know, the signal to really get bullish on silver is probably gold breaking above 1900. Then I think at that point, gold has enough momentum where it's going to start to carry silver. And this is just based on the charts and the macro. I mean, one way I could be wrong is if you see inflation this year, it doesn't come down. We're all thinking it's going to come down statistically from 6 or 7%. But let's say it only comes down to like 4.5 or 5%. You know, inflation becomes an issue. If inflation remains an issue, but the economy isn't that, I mean, if growth isn't that much of an issue, silver would outperform gold. So it's interesting, because if inflation hangs around, but we have worries about stagflation, that's going to be really good for gold. But gold will outperform silver initially. Then when gold gets going, that's when you see silver catch up. So I know there's a lot to take in, but that's how I'm looking at it.
Well, Jordan, I was asking more about when you thought the 2660 quarterly level would get breached. Like, if gold does move above 1900, when do you think, as a rough estimate, that the gold price would pull silver up enough to break through that 2660? And then at what gold price would you need to see it break through that 37 resistance? That's more what I was looking at.
Okay. No, that's a really good question. So based on, I mean, if we follow the template of how metals perform, by metals, I mean gold and silver. If we follow that, the last three rate hike cycles, gold had 11 to 13% dip the 2 months before. Then it averaged a 27, 28% rebound. Silver over the last four rate hike cycles, 42% rebound. So if silver, you know, we're looking at the potential for gold, depending on where it bottoms, you know, even if you slap a 20% rebound on the mid 1600s, I think that gets you to 2000. So if silver, like, let's say it bottoms around 1870, you know, that's the really strong target I'm looking at, you know, or maybe it bottoms a little bit 19, or, you know, the high 19s or whatever. Over the last four rate hike cycles, the start, silver rebounded from the low an average of 42%. So you're looking at 42% on $20. That's another $8, you know. 28 is really the resistance right now, you know, 20 on the, I think it's the, I don't know if it's the monthly or the quarterly, maybe it's both, but you have pretty stiff resistance at 24. So 24, 25 silver might be kind of equivalent to 1900 for gold right now. But looking at the percentages, if we do see gold rally to 2000 or 2050, you know, it retests the all-time high by the end of the year, I would think that's probably enough to get silver to 27, maybe 28. I mean, if it's like a weaker than average rally after the rate hike, you know, then silver wouldn't be able to break that level. So that it depends on a little bit on the macro and how much metals will rally after that first rate hike. As far as closing above that level, let's just say 27, you know, monthly or quarterly close, my guess would be end of the year if it were to happen. You know, and some of this depends on the macro winds, which we can't really forecast. But if we get into a situation where the Fed has to pause and then the fear of the economy slowing to zero again in the second half, if that is strong enough where, you know, we get more fiscal stimulus, you know, in that scenario, you're going to see both metals rocket and silver will outperform gold and easily take out that resistance, you know, around the end of next year, I think.
Okay, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there, but some key levels there to watch for gold and silver and more of that long-term outlook, because inevitably we are going to get a lot of noise and a lot of volatility as we get closer to these Fed rate hikes. And remember, it's not all about gold and silver, but I know we're all invested in it, so always important to know where the key resistance and support levels are for both of these metals. Jordan, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.